What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley.
I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are on location up in Ravenswood, Andersonville area.
Yeah, man. We're up in Malt Row.
Yeah.
With James Moriarty from Urban Renewal Brewing.
Hey, guys.
What's going on, man?
Not much.
Yeah. Thanks for having us up here. This is great. It's been...
And we are in a brew house, yeah, a real functioning brew house.
Sorry about that.
No worries. It's been a little.
We were at Irving Park, and we were like right in the middle of all the tanks.
Yeah. So. And then when we were at Forbidden Root, that was just the craziness.
Yeah, it was just random noises the whole episode.
Yeah, that hopefully won't go off again. But yeah. There's a strong possibility. Yeah.
It's not a museum, man. You know.
What?
This is a functioning thing,
I
man.
Thought this was a museum.
Yeah, when I rolled up, you guys were finishing up the brew day for today.
Yep, brewed the Lazy River Blonde, which you're having right now.
Yeah, I got that. This is really nice. You said it was like a really good summer kind of beer, and yeah, I'm feeling it.
Yeah, it kind of appeals to both the hophead and someone that just wants a nice, clean, drinkable beer.
Yeah, I'm rolling with the Brute Ale.
Okay.
Yeah, what'd you get?
I got the Packy, the New England IPA.
Right on.
Nice.
Right
nice.
On.
So this space has some history.
It
in
does,
the Chicago beer world.
I got kicked out of here trying to get lemongrass Kolsch.
No.
Because I didn't have a yoga mat. Because this used to be home to Metropolitan Brewing. And now they're in Avondale. So, and then, now how long have you guys been here?
So we took over the space from Metropolitan in October of 2017.
Okay.
Mm. And then it took about 4 months to get through all the licensing before we could brew our first batch. That was done in February of 2018, and that was the Kiss Kolsch.
Nice.
And then we self-distribute, and so as required by law, there's a 45-day waiting period. Basically, it's a public notification saying we're a brewery, we're about to distribute, and yeah, so we sold our first keg to Hopcat.
Okay.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had. I mean, it was. I thought it was cool. I thought it looked cool, that location.
So I was in 2018. I was actually living in Lincoln, Nebraska, mm-hmm. and I was commuting every other weekend, back and forth here, basically getting this place, you know, up to par, and brewing the first batches, and out in Lincoln, we had a Hopcat.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, and I was like, wow, this is kind of cool.
And, they're like, because they're Michigan, I think is where they're from.
Yeah.
Originally, yeah.
Yeah.
And, so it's sad to see him go, but.
Yeah. Too many taps, man.
It was a lot of taps.
It had like a, I don't know, like a 50s, like, jazz club kind of
movie.
Just in a weird location.
And maybe that was the biggest thing. Yeah.
No parking.
Yeah.
Right. And you live over there. You're going out to probably your places already. No one's coming in, and it was big.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily big for the area.
Yeah. Well, and being north of Wrigley, I don't want to drive through.
So when you came in here, it was basically turnkey. But what was here? And what did Metro take when they left?
The brew house was here, and five of the fermenters.
Okay.
And all the infrastructure. So
nice.
Our refrigeration, our, you know, for a walk-in cooler, our glycol, it was a great stepping point. And I mean, it gave me a huge jump start, and
uh-huh.
so basically, it was just getting through the licensing. You know, I replaced a few items that were a little older, and during that time, and I was able to just, you know, hit the ground running, and you know.
That's not a story you hear all the time. Like, yeah, you know, this brewery was here, you know, yeah. The tenants were leaving and they left most of the things.
Yeah,
and then I came in and just made it my own.
2 years in the making of permits and
build
outs and money.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to work for an equipment supplier. So, you know, I was working with the customers, going through their planning phases and then eventually their construction build out and then installing the equipment and brewing their first batches with them. So I knew all the headaches that, you know, all my customers experienced, and yeah, I was grateful for, you know, Metropolitan leaving me this space.
Was that always part of your plan to go from this this company you were with that helped set up breweries to ultimately like do your own thing, or how'd that come about?
No, not really. I mean, at the time, my wife and I were out in Lincoln, Nebraska. We were there for 3 years, and, well, Metropolitan, well, we had three kids, and, you know, the goal was to eventually get closer to family. And, well, Metropolitan, I saw the listing for this space, and I was like, okay, well, this is it. We're going to do this.
This is like a sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I reached out to Doug, and I was like, when can I come by? And I was like, I want to buy it tomorrow. And which was not realistic because, you know, I didn't have money. So basically the summer of 2017, I was just scraping up money wherever I could, loans, family. And and then Doug handed over the keys in October.
So, that was cool.
Yeah.
So you were doing the equipment side. Were you also brewing or home brewing? Like, what kind of?
So
how do you make that jump from selling equipment to being like, I'm a brewer now?
No, I started home brewing in college in 2005, 2006. And then I started volunteering at a brewery that was near my school out in Massachusetts. And eventually I got a part-time position with them that then led into a full-time position. And so since 2007, I've been working for 9 different breweries.
Oh, okay.
Basically all along the East Coast, so in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Virginia, and Florida.
Okay.
And I started 2 breweries out east.
Are they still around, or like which one?
Oh yeah, they are. Yep. So Henniker Brewing up in Henniker, New Hampshire.
Okay.
And then Veterans United Brewing down in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And well, basically what I learned was I enjoyed the planning and the building out of the brewery.
Okay.
More so than the day-to-day operations. I love it, but, you know, it's just, you know, as a production brewer, it's just very repetitive.
Sure.
And,
okay.
And building out a brewery, just every day is different. You don't know what's coming at you. And I knew I wanted to transition from being a production brewer into some sort of consultant. And I reached out to my old equipment suppliers and that I've purchased from over the years, and interviewed with them and kind of defined what kind of position I was looking for.
Cool.
And you know, one of those suppliers, they were based in Canada and they wanted me to relocate. That just was not gonna happen. So
family and kids, yeah, it's not.
Hey, we're Canadians now. So I reached out to Alpha Brewing Operations in Lincoln, Nebraska. I didn't know anything about them. Basically, their logo was neon green, and green's my favorite color. And I was like,
another good sign kind of thing.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. You know, as shallow as that is. So I reached out to them, cold called them, and had an interview, that phone interview that same day. Cool. Flew out the next week, and it was a small company at the time. I think there was four full-time employees, and they hired me on. Moved the family up to Nebraska, and basically my role at Alpha was the in-house consulting brewer.
Okay.
So, you know, customers or potential customers would call in and have specific questions about the equipment, processes, like efficiency, and it was my job to kind of walk them through their concerns and help them get a little more educated about the equipment, because not everyone was coming from an experienced background. You know, we did have a lot of home brewers that just wanted to make the jump, and it's a huge jump going from 5 gallons or even 10 gallons
in your kitchen or garage.
Yeah,
to,
and then bam, you got a 10 barrel brewery. It's like,
and brew it consistently.
Yeah. My background in school was engineering, and so I was able to apply that and help design the brew houses, make the process piping more efficient at a brewer's standpoint.
Okay.
And so I got to implement a lot of ideas and helped a lot of brewers along the way. But and then once the customers got their equipment, I would fly out, help them set it up, train them for a few days on how to brew on it.
Cool.
And fly home.
Yeah. So you kind of missed then, like, went full circle then. You kind of realized, you were like saying you didn't like that day to day, but then family stuff, and now you're back doing day to day.
So it was kind of weird. So for like basically 3 years, I was helping everyone chase their dreams. And then I was like, "Whoa, wait a minute! What about my own?" And I knew I wanted to eventually open a brewery, and I love managing like the everyday aspects of running a brewery. I don't necessarily need to brew every day.
Okay.
It's great. I got a new assistant brewer who just came on few weeks ago, and he's been doing a great job, picking up the equipment, and he was just a fresh home brewer.
Cool.
And with aspirations of opening his own brewery, and I was like, I need help. And, I was like, I can train you. And
sounds familiar.
Sometimes those first time people work out, like Alarmists, the guy over there, his first brewery he's been at.
Even the off color guys, they got their start in this building.
In this,
same thing. It's like, Doug went away to school, came back, needed help, and these guys come in. And I'm like, well, I'll help.
Actually, Gary from Alarmist,
he
was an intern here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, how efficient was Metro setup when you came in? Before you did anything, because they were kind of one of those first 10 breweries in Chicago.
Yeah, we forget that.
In this new wave, so.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with how efficient the system was. Now, it is an older system, and some brewing practices, especially for brewing something like a New England IPA, it's just not really conducive on an older system.
Right,
so there's a little bit of workaround that we have to do. And there's a few things that I would change, but all in all, it's been a great system.
Nice.
And I've been really happy, and I feel.
Speaking of those New England IPAs, like, you were on the East Coast for so long, how, like, maybe seeing that kind of pick up there a little bit, and now Chicago being this gold standard of it, and
that was fun to witness. so at the time, I was brewing at Cape Cod Beer, and we filtered everything, and even our IPA, and.
Well, clarity was so important. Like,
oh yeah,
even
if, like, you couldn't see your fingerprint through a glass.
Talking about beer for so long, you're like, well, this one you can't really see through it. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was just the easiest, most visual, check on quality. It's like, okay, do these guys know what they're doing? And then the Alchemist came by. And, we got the first cans, and it's just pouring mud into a pint glass, and we're like, what is this?
That's probably where all this shit started, right? It's probably the Alchemist. That's the first time
I
heard it.
I remember the first time I had that beer, it says, drink from the can. And we're like, that makes no sense to me. Like, why? I got to see this beer. I got to smell it.
Because that's the thing. That's
and then
you're
like, oh, this looks like garbage. So.
Yeah. Well, what they were doing is basically educating the consumer base. And they're like, yeah, don't look at it, but you're really going to like it.
Right.
And, and then people started looking at it, and they're like, oh, I don't care. It tastes good. And and then it just blossomed from there, because then you had Hill Farmstead, Main Brewing Company, or Main Beer Company. And now, when I started in 2007, I feel like I knew every brewer personally in New England. Now, I went out there this past spring. It's unbelievable.
It's
blown up.
That's a big market.
How many brewers, I don't stand a chance of knowing anyone now. So,
you can feel that way here in Chicago or even Illinois. What was it, 168 or probably
in
more
the
now?
State? Yeah. Yeah, like 70 or so in the city, like 168.
There was
the
a time where it's like, new place opened up. Hey, how are you? Like, nice to meet you. All right.
I know. And as a new guy in town, it's just like, wow, it's kind of hard to meet everyone. But that's what's great about the industry is just, you can relate to just about anyone with a beer, and everyone's been really accepting, it's a great community. So
what's your New England IPA kind of take versus maybe someone else that's doing it? Or are you just kind of, you have kind of a wide variety of beers at them. It seems like you're, I think, new to a lot of people. So coming in here, it's like, oh, there's the Blonde, there's New England IPA, there's the Brute. So,
yeah, I mean, with our New England, what I like about it is it's got a lot of the great characteristics of a New England. It's got the haze, the great tropical, slight dank aroma and flavor. But it's got just a touch of bitterness that helps clean the palate. And make you want a second pint versus, some of the New Englands just get a little too sweet. And you're just like, man, I don't know if I, should take insulin or grab another pint. I like how ours kind of bridges the gap a little bit between, kind of like your traditional West Coast IPA and then the New England hazy. It's my go-to beer here at the brewery now.
Out of your current lineup, what are folks gravitating towards the most?
Right now, definitely Packy, the New England, and then Lazy River, the Hoppy Blonde.
Okay.
Pop Hops does pretty good, but being that it's a Brute, it's still a new trendy style that not everyone's familiar with. And so we do a lot of education here when people come in. They're like, well, what's a Brute Ale? And it's like, okay, think brut champagne. You know, it's dry and you know.
Yeah. What's the crowd like? Because you were saying you're kind of in the middle of the brewing district, or maybe the end of the brewing district, but then the second wave starts with
Because Empirical and the Half Acre,
Spiteful.
Yeah, so we're still part of Montreal on the northern end of Montreal. Yeah,
or not the brewing district. Sorry, that's not that's
it's brewing district north, right?
Yeah, it's Montreal. Montreal.
Yeah.
Yep. My districts.
It's been great. You know, the chamber does a really good job of advertising, promoting Malt Row, and we get tons of people that come by that are brewery crawling. You know, they're just going up Ravenswood, you know, starting at Beguile or starting at Half Acre, and you know, just making their way. Yeah. And then having Koval Distillery as our neighbors, that's been great too, because we get a lot of carryover from their tours on Saturdays. Cool. Uh-huh. And
because I want to say it's like the same building, right?
It's the same building. They're right on the other side of the cinder block.
Okay.
And they are relocating. They own a production facility a little further south on Ravenswood.
Yeah.
And so the goal is, for them, I believe, is to vacate this space by the end of the year. And then... hopefully, I'll be taking over that space.
Oh, that's nice.
And building out a tap room.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you need a tap room in today's
hyper local market. Yeah, it's amazing how many people just on this side of the tracks that don't cross the tracks to go to Empirical. You know, it's still local, but
man, as you mentioned it, like I haven't been to Empirical in a while.
yeah, but I mean, it's great. Like they're right there, but it's still too far. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's how local.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering with the crowd, because we, you know, a lot of people haven't heard about you guys. Like,
yep.
we mentioned people, oh, we're going over here. It's like, oh, cool, excited to hear what you guys are doing. I don't know anything about them, and you're like, well, I've been in this space for like almost 2 years.
yeah, I'm surprised.
Well, yeah, it's tough without a tap room. You know, it limits. You know how many brands we can really push out, because we have to sell it, you know. So you know, everything right now is canned and kegged. Okay. So
do you have your own canning line, or you?
No, we use a mold canner, but it's kind of a unique relationship, because it's a startup mobile canning business, and the canning line that they purchased was Alpha's canning line.
Oh.
And I met the owners when they were out in Lincoln picking up the canning line. And, you know, they had to wait for a few last minute changes on the canning line. And so they were just hanging out in the lobby, and you know, stopped by, asked them where they were from and what they were doing, and turns out they're here in Chicago. And I was like, no way. I just gave my notice yesterday. I'm starting a brewery in Chicago. And they're like, well, you can be our first customer.
We can use some beer.
Yeah. And I was like, sounds good. So, ever since, they just dragged the canning line up here, and you know, we can once or twice a week, and it's been a great relationship.
Nice.
And you know, so I get a discount on our canning, because I help service the canning line. I pretty much know that thing inside out, and it's.
Are you doing like weekly? Are you doing any like weekly new releases, or is it kind of like this staples? Like, what can people expect if they come in to pick up cans?
Really, we're trying to, you know, mimic a tap room as much as possible by just constantly putting out something new.
Yeah.
You know, I think the only two beers that are really gonna stick around is probably. Pacquiao New England, and then Kiss Kolsch. You know, the Kolsch is just it's an easy drinking beer, you know. It appeals to, you know, lager drinkers, and, you know, Chicago is a lager town. And, it's perfect in the summer, it's nice in the winter. And so those two beers will be around year-round. And then everything else in the middle is just up for grabs. So in 2 weeks we're releasing Lackey's Mistress, which is an amber ale, and then after that we're releasing the Humble Gator.
There is an alligator in the Humble Park.
Yeah.
Chance the
yeah.
Snapper.
Yeah. That's fun. We were planning on brewing that beer anyways, but needed a name.
Yeah.
And, you know, even on brew day, we're like, what are we going to call this? And, yeah, and then the alligator.
That just happened,
like,
yeah.
It's better than, I think it was like Corridor or Dry Hop. They were like, yeah, we brewed this beer on the day that David Bowie died, so that's the name of the beer. The name of the beer is like the day that Bowie died. So I'm like, oh, okay, right on. It's better than that, you know?
Yeah.
How does Chicago compare to Boston, man? Like, from a market standpoint, you know, same kind of folks. Any similarities there?
They drink, like, to drink a lot.
They drink a lot. A lot of people just same, like, styles. Because, you know, like, Revolution, they got a Boston footprint. There's a Boston connection here. Beta Brow, there's those guys started in Boston.
Who?
The Beta Brow.
Well, Boston proper doesn't have all that many breweries. I mean, you got Trillium, you got Night Shift,
this is the Sam Adams kind of like pub thing in Jamaica.
Yeah, they got their little R&D brewery. Yeah. You got Harpoon.
The Harpoon Brewery is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've been around since like 93. Yeah. Yeah. So in that sense, it's different because you're going to beer bars and, you know, or your local joint. You know, whereas here in Chicago we got a lot of, you know, inner city breweries, and so I think that would be the biggest difference.
Yeah.
But both have really long winters that make you want to drink, so and then the short summers,
a lot of taxes,
a lot of
traffic, a lot of taxes, a lot of people. Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, there's plenty of similarities. I mean, both older cities. You know, passionate baseball fans.
That's true, yeah.
And but otherwise, I think Chicago's got a little more going for it, brewery wise.
Well, and a lot of other things, yeah.
Yeah. Skyline, world's greatest skyline. Yeah.
Hey man, we got the harbor.
So the name though, like Urban Renewal, you hear about it for like renovating old spaces, or Nick was looking this up beforehand.
Yeah, how'd you guys come up with the name?
Yeah, well, basically my attorney did. So our legal name is Wicked River, because it was kind of a tie of Boston. We use Wicked for everything,
right?
And then, you know, Chicago River, and well, went to file trademark application, and turns out there's a distillery, I believe in Tennessee, that is using Wicked River on a label.
Okay.
So since it's in the same industry, my attorney was just like, yeah, steer clear of that one. Okay.
And there's Wicked Weed, which it could have got a little, like,
yeah.
Not...
There's Wicked Weed, and then there's down in Florida, in Jacksonville, there's Wicked Barley.
Oh, okay.
And, so I wanted to tread lightly on that, too. I didn't want to, like, try and copy someone.
I guess you don't want to be in a space where you're forced to change. Like, Beguile was Argyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, Maplewood was Mercenary initially.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Burn City was Atlas.
Yep.
Yeah. They were something else even before that, too, right? Or...
They were for sure Atlas.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you get to a point, you don't want to get to a point where it's like, oh, shit, we got all this stuff and now we got to change everything.
Alarmist, panic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everyone's like, yeah. The lawyers.
Yeah, we just named like five examples of the treading and people being forced to change.
Yeah, well, I put my attorney's kids through college, finally a name.
Yeah.
Because we went through like 30 different names all like $300 a pop. You know.
Oh, man.
Not really, but I felt that way.
Yeah.
We just took a literal approach to it in that, you know, we were reviving an urban brewery.
Okay.
So it just kind of formed its own name, and fortunately it was available. So.
Yeah. No, that's a. I'm really surprised that that wasn't already a name. Like, yeah, that's
I was too.
Some breweries don't get to like be reborn. Like some breweries become like condos. You know, yeah. Like this was a brewing location and now it is again. It's like still kind
of. Yeah, I mean, fortunately for Beta Brow's space, it's now going to be Moody Town.
Yeah,
So that's cool. Without a name though, it holds up everything. You can't file for licenses, so it was stressful just trying to rush and find a name that worked. And so I wish I had a better
I think that's story. A great story. Like, you know, I think it was people have like back of the napkin drunken bar stories. It's like, I don't know, we were just
I got some great names.
Like, and that, so it's, I don't know, the name's important and how it came about is always good. So nice. So you mentioned some beers coming up, any collaborations or things you're working with in the neighborhood, or is there Friday Night Lights? Not like Friday Night Flights coming up again over here.
Yeah, what is that film? We'll be there. This weekend we'll be at Square Roots.
Square Roots is all weekend, yeah. That's a good, it's like folk music, art, and beer.
Mm-hmm.
Block Party. The Ravenswood Block Party. Yep. Lincoln Square Block Party.
Yes. And then the Oak Park Microbrew is coming up. You guys are going to be there.
We will not be at that one.
You should at least check it out. If you're not pouring beer, you should go out. Yeah. It's a pretty fun little spot.
Yeah, at this point, we're starting to get double booked on weekends.
Fair enough, yeah.
And it's like, oh, man. That's
a good sign. Like, that's the pains I think a lot of breweries go through where it's like, I don't know, we have to say no to festivals because we don't have the manpower, we don't have beer to give or supply, and
we got wiped out by Ravenswood on Tap.
It's way better to sell it and get money than
for sure
give it away free at the fest.
So we actually brewed the Frosted Tips and Visors as a festival beer just to have beer to supply to festivals, we got cleaned out.
That's awesome. That's good. That's great.
A good problem to have.
I'll take it any day.
Well, this was awesome. Thanks for inviting us up to the space. Like,
that's cool. I haven't been here in forever, man.
The tent's gone.
Tent's gone. Just that classic, trellis, truss, bow, whatever they're calling
bow
it.
Bow truss.
Like, countless breweries have that set up.
It's cool.
Like, I didn't realize this many of these types of buildings were here until we started like doing the show. And I'm like, dude, there's like at least 15 of these style spaces around town, like in every part of town.
Got a lot of great character. Unfortunately though, heat rises and the winters are cold.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, the Metro guys and girls are probably laughing that they're we got out of there.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the whole reason they had the tent is just keep warm. But
So it was Twitter or Facebook. What's the best place to hear about releases or what's available?
Yeah, we keep our Instagram and Facebook up to date, and I'm the one in charge of the website. And,
okay.
I am terrible at it. So.
Well, you're brewing and you're having to run that. Like,
you got
that's
a lot going
just,
on.
Yeah.
yeah. I'm trying to shed some of that responsibility.
Okay.
We got a couple new people coming on board. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. We're growing.
That's great to hear. Yeah. Very cool. Excited. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not recording.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And we'll be back with another episode. We got a lot of places to talk about. Ravinia and Goose. I got a lot of stuff next week. So we'll be back with another episode.
Right on, man. James Moretti, thank you for having us out, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming, guys.